Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. This chapter that deals with the attributes of Allah is very important. Without it, you may nullify your Islam. Without it, you may void your Islam if you start to play around. Allah tells us in the Quran, when He addresses Iblis, why didn't you prostrate to what I have created with my two hands? So Allah Azza wa Jal has two hands. Allah Azza wa Jal has a face. Allah Azza wa Jal has eyes. وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. Allah Azza wa Jal has a foot which He puts on hell when it's completely filled. All of these attributes we cannot simulate and say they look like this, they look like that. Or we cannot also say, no, He doesn't have any. We say that He has, but we do not know the description and we believe in that. Allah has the highest example. When I say there is a leg of an ant and a leg of an elephant, the name is the same leg, but is it similar? It has no resemblance at all, and Allah Azza wa Jal has the highest example. This is crucially important, because when you come to attributes such as Allah is angered, or Allah is jealous, or Allah Azza wa Jal is amazed, or Allah is happy when His slave repents to Him. All of these, we have to understand them and believe in them as they are, without saying, how is it that Allah is angry? This anger is a human nature. And it's something that only humans have. No, it's only something that humans have, but it leads them to doing things that are unfair and unjust. Allah's anger is not like that. Allah's anger is perfect. Allah's anger is complete and divine. Likewise, Allah's jealousy. So what is Allah jealous about? The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah's jealousy is when His servant, male or female, fornicates. The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that beware of such a major sin, because this sin makes Allah Azza wa Jal jealous and it angers Allah the Almighty. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam tells us that if you knew what I know, and this shows us that the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ is next to none. His knowledge is far greater than us. He knows Allah more than us. He said, if you knew what I know, you would have laughed little and you would have cried a lot. Meaning that our ignorance is the main driver that keeps us away from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is why we always enjoy life. We laugh, we play, we're joyful, unaware of what awaits us. And that is why Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy on his soul, one of the greatest tabi'een. And it was said that he suckled from Umm Salama, or from one of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why the wisdom has been running out of his mouth, because all of the things that he said were considered to be extremely wise. He saw a young man, a teenager, youngster, laughing his head off. You know, when sometimes you laugh and laugh until you feel your stomach hurts and tears start to come out, and sometimes you just fall on your back with your legs in the air. Excessive laughter is bad. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, beware of laughing a lot, because laughing a lot kills the heart, makes your heart die. When all of your time is focused on jokes and laughter, or reading comic books, or watching comedy programs, just to laugh, 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 you'll end up by having a dead heart. You'll hear the Quran, everyone is crying and you're looking at them, what's wrong, who died? This is what happens. You pray in Salat, in Taraweeh, in the Haram, or any masjid, and the people are so emotional. And you look around, and I'm not going to pray here anymore, man. These guys are lunatics. They just cry. Why? Because you have a dead heart. Your heart is filled of laughter. And Al-Hasan al-Basri saw this man laughing, and he said, my son, or my brother, or my nephew, did you see hellfire? He said, no. Did you see the grave? He said, no. Do you have a permit from Allah that you will not go to hell and your sins will be forgiven? And the boy said, no. Al-Hasan said, then why are you laughing? Seriously, why are you laughing? If you know that you're gonna die, if you know that you're going to be buried and be left alone, and Allah knows how long, if you know that there is hell, and if you know that on top of hell, there is a sirat, which is thinner than a hair and sharper than a blade. If you know this and you don't know if Allah will give me the light so that I can walk, or my light will be taken away and I'll fall. Why are you laughing? Why are you having a good time? This is, of course, not to say that laughter is not permissible. Prophet Azam used to laugh, but the hardest he would laugh would only reveal his teeth. He would never break into laughter and make noises as we do. The hardest laughter, he would just smile and you would see his teeth. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is how a true Muslim should be. Not like a lot of us when he hears something funny, ha 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 ha, and his sound goes to the end of the building. No, this is not part of a Muslim's character. So the Prophet is telling us, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you knew what I know, this would happen to you. The last hadith with us is hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, number 149, and who will read it for us? Yes, brother.
Abu Musa reported, the sun eclipsed during the lifetime of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stood in great anxiety, fearing that it might be the hour of judgment, until he came to the masjid. He stood up to pray with prolonged qiyam, ruku, and sajda, which I never saw him doing in prayer. Then he said, these are the signs which Allah sends, not on account of the death of anyone nor of anyone, but Allah sends them to frighten His servants thereby. So, when you see any such thing, hasten to remember Him, supplicate Him, and beg pardon from Him. Bukhari and Muslim.
Jazakallah khair. This again is the same as mentioned before. The Prophet ﷺ prolonged the prayer to the extent that his companion said, I've never seen any similar prayer so long. So it is considered to be one of the longest prayers of Islam when performed, because the time of the eclipse usually long, and they are only two units with four rak'ahs and four sajda. And therefore the sunnah is to prolong it. Do we have any questions?
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Sheikh, as we have mentioned that Salatul Kusuf is a really long prayer, what if a person is offering this prayer and a time for a mandatory salah is due? Should he delay that mandatory salah, or what should he do? And my second question is that, as we have mentioned that there are farz of kifaya, which is obligatory on a single person. So is this single person of a locality, of an area, of a city, of a country? What is the limit?
First question. The answer is, if the eclipse takes place and the mandatory prayer is there, for example, if the eclipse takes place at, let's say, 12:30, and it's time for Friday prayer, which one should we start with? Scholars say that if you are able to pray it and then pray the mandatory prayer afterwards, there is enough time, then go ahead and do it. Otherwise, the mandatory prayer always comes first. So if the eclipse is at 11:30, we can easily pray until Jumu'ah time, and then we pray Jumu'ah. If the eclipse takes place at 4 o'clock, we pray the prayer, and then afterwards we can pray Asr. But if I fear that it would be so long that Asr time would be in the not recommended time, then I should pray the mandatory and the obligatory prayer. As for the collective obligation, which is Fard al-Kifaya, the brother is asking, what is the determining factor, or how can we determine the number? The number would not be determined by one or two. It would be determined by a group of Muslims had done it. So in our city, if a masjid had prayed in it, then this is sufficient for the rest. But the problem is, the bigger the city is, the possibility of not knowing if they prayed or not. So one should not rely on others, because the minute we become reckless, and I depend on you that you'll pray, and you depend on him that he'll pray, and he depends on that person that he will pray, we end up by no one praying and we'll all be sinful. You shouldn't look at whether I will be sinful or not. You should do what you are obliged to do, whether it's sunnah, whether it's mandatory, whether it's collective obligation, and by that you would be closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.